Good afternoon, good people. It's July 11th, 2013. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. No rain is in sight, ladies and gents. A fantastic day, I must say, to bring out the clubs. But welcome to another edition of Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have a full plate for you all to munch on during the hour, including a former beloved Piston who has decided to make a return to the red, white, and blue. This move had me jumping up and down in my pajamas this morning, I'm telling you. The high school all-star football game is changing up a bit when it comes to the state of Michigan. And another, yes, another NFL player gets the cuffs put on him. I'm not joking. You gotta hear this. Man, when is the madness going to stop? Keep it locked right here. Current Sports is in your ear right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. And, of course, you know, you can give us a ring here at Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. And you all certainly, certainly let your voice be heard on our Facebook page yesterday during our Barbershop Wednesday segment. If you weren't able to tune in yesterday, we debated whether or not baseball players who have been accused of taking steroids or have been proven guilty of getting juiced up, should they be allowed to grace the coveted Baseball Hall of Fame. And we got an overwhelming response from you all. Just to read a few of your responses, Crystal Henry says, if they prove they're not using anymore, then absolutely. Or if they've been suspended once, but if they have multiple offenses, I don't feel that they should be let in. Now, Jimmy Cotter, a guest who we had in the show, he actually commented on our Facebook page saying, I don't know, man. I think it would forever taint the scarred hall. Performance-enhancing drugs is just too much to look past. However, I do believe you got to let a guy like Pete Rose in. Different argument, I know, but as long as we're on the topic of cheating, to move on, David James says steroids are the reason baseball didn't fade into oblivion. The whole home run chase in the late 90s is what brought interest back to baseball and was fueled by steroids. All those players did what they had to do to compete, stay relevant, and improve competition. So, in short, yes, a player accused of steroids, especially from that era, should be allowed in the hall. I could go on and on and on with your comments. You guys certainly had an overwhelming response to our debate yesterday. We want to thank everyone out there who decided to comment on our Facebook page. You can still leave a comment on anything that we discuss here on the show by going to Current Sports. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment and we will read it right here on the show. Well, let's move on to the show. We have a great guest in store for you, as always, on Current Sports. We invite a man who can improve just about all of your guys' golf games out there, all right? He is the director of marketing for Eagle Eye Golf Course, served as rules aficionado for the USGA for 1 year, also works with the Golf Association. He's constantly on the golf course officiating or playing in some way. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Terry Kilday to Current Sports. How you doing, Terry?
I'm well, Al. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So first of all, Terry, let's dive right into it, man. How did you get involved with the game of golf?
Well, I sold my business about 12 years ago, and my wife said, get out of the house or we'll have a divorce or I'll kill you, one or the other. So the short part there, but I've loved golf all
That's
my
pressure.
Life.
That's pressure, man.
There you go. I've loved golf all my life, and after I did retire from my previous life, I went to work out at Hawk Hollow and Eagle Eye and just got involved in rules on a local basis, and it just kind of expanded from there.
And now we are certainly going to dig into the rules aspect to your story. Now, Terry, you are the marketing director over at Eagle Eye in Hawk Hollow. It's such a beautiful course. Definitely golfed there before. For those who have never played there, what makes this course stand out compared to others in the area?
Well, and there's great courses in the greater Lansing area, first of all.
Yeah.
I think three things, really. We have incredible conditions at our golf course. We have a great grounds crew, superintendents. So the conditions are don't take a backseat to any course in Michigan, as far as I can see from officiating. The second thing is we really strive to make the experience one to remember when golfers come out. So our customer service is a stress point for all our employees, and we really try to take care of people when they come out. And then lastly, there's many, many great golf holes. We've got 45 holes on the championship courses and our entry-level courses, Woodside and the Falcon, add another 18 holes. But there's holes at Eagle Eye, like for your listeners who watch the TPC at Sawgrass. We have the identical 17th hole there. And there's many, many really incredible holes on both Hawk Hollow and Eagle Eye.
Yes, it is certainly a great course to golf on. Like I said, I've been there before. And Terry, what are the rates like for those listening and want to go play there? What are the rates like there at Eagle Eye and Hawk Hollow?
Well, our peak rates are 89 at Eagle Eye on the weekends, and that includes cart, 18 holes, and practice balls before the range, 65 at Hawk Hollow. But if your listeners will pay attention to our website, and we have many online specials that run selected hours. We have senior specials, junior specials, and twilight rates, of course. And then holiday weekends, we are very aggressive. A lot of people head north, and we want people in town to be able to use our course. So we range from a low of 34 to a high of 65 at Hawk Hollow.
Oh, man, I got to get out there soon, man. All right, Terry, so how in the world, like I said, I just brought up you being involved with as a rules aficionado for the USGA for at least 1 year. You're constantly officiating out there on the course during different events right now. I believe you're at Acres right now during an event as we speak, right?
That's correct. There's a two-day junior event here that the Michigan PGA runs, and today's the first day at Forest Acres West.
Right. Now, Terry, how did you get involved with the rules committee?
I have a real good friend in Grand Rapids that had been doing it for about 6 or 7 years before I started. He just was a great mentor, and you know, he pushed me into it right from the administration of a tournament to setting the golf course up with hole locations and that. And from enjoying doing that, then the next thing was to start attending the USGA and the PGA run 4-day rules seminars each winter, and just got involved, took the tests, and got lucky and scored high enough to start doing things on the national and the state level.
Is that test pretty tough?
It is, yes. It's 100 questions and it's timed. So, you've got to do some work before going into it. You just can't sit down and handle it.
Right, right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Terry Kilday. He is the director of marketing for Eagle Eye Golf Course, served as rules aficionado for the USGA for 1 year, works with the Golf Association now. He's constantly doing a lot of things as far as the game of golf is concerned. Now, Terry, I was talking with Fred Heumann of WLNS TV6 before I had you on today, and he told me that you have some pretty strong feelings about a certain call at this year's Masters Tournament. Listen to this, Terry.
Because we had initially made the determination the previous day after reviewing the CBS video that he, I'm sorry, the ESPN video, not of his interview but of his round, that he in fact had not violated the rule, and that we had elected to make that decision, had not spoken to him, that under Rule 33-7 that there was ample reason not to impose the penalty of disqualification, but to waive that penalty and impose a two-shot penalty.
Yes, that was at this year's Masters Tournament. Tiger Woods was actually penalized 2 strokes for a ball drop on the 15th hole. Now, Terry, do you think that Tiger should have been disqualified after his illegal drop?
It's a real gray area. It's not at all because of the drop. The reason is that the Masters should have reviewed it. They made the comment early on, and it's not in that part of the soundtrack that you just paid, but it was earlier on, that we made the decision after looking at the tape quickly that there was no problem. Any rules official that had been working 3 months would have said there was a problem. If they would have addressed it right then and there in the scoring tent, hey, here's what we think we saw, Tiger, what do you say? He would have still got the two-shot penalty. But having said that, when they as a committee didn't address it, but didn't address it with the player or anything else, that's where the gray area comes in. Should they have, and if they had, would it have just been the two-shot penalty that it ended up with? But the fact that they didn't, and he signed a scorecard for that number and stuff, I tell you, in any other championship, the Masters is called a tournament for a reason. Mm-hmm. The other majors are called championships. In any other championship, he would have been gone.
Wow, wow. So you do think he should have been disqualified?
Yes, sir.
Do you think Tiger Woods gets some kind of, you know, kind of pass, if you will, because he is Tiger Woods?
I think I'd be naive not to agree with that. You know, you want him around for the weekend and stuff. So, but you know, in his defense, Stricker, Snedeker, Mickelson, any of your stars probably would have gotten the same treatment there. So, and in no way did Tiger knowingly, you know, cheat or anything. He just infused two aspects of the same rule, and when he did, he ended up in the wrong place. And when you play from the wrong place, you get a two-stroke penalty.
Right, exactly. Very, very true. Very, very true. Now Terry, when you look at you've been around the game for quite some time and gotten to see and watch a lot of golfers out there. When you talk about, you know, golfers you've seen through your era and through your time here, who do you think is, when it's all said and done, do you think Tiger Woods will go down as the greatest golfer to ever live?
Well, you know, I'm right of that certain age that it would still be awful hard for me to get past Nicklaus. You know, and if Tiger doesn't beat his 18 majors, then I'll definitely stick to that. If Tiger would go on a tear and get up into the 20s, 22 or something majors, I might back off it. But, you know, I still remember so many times where Nicklaus had to make a putt and it got in the hole and stuff. And he did it right for a lot of years.
Yes, Jack was certainly special. Now, what are your impressions of the PGA Tour so far this season, and who's impressed you the most?
Well, you know, I like a lot what Stricker did until a few holes in the last day of the Open, for a number of reasons. But, you know, one of them is because he hadn't had a great year, and then all of a sudden in a high-pressure, hard-to-play tournament. So, you know, I like these stories of a guy, you know, 38 to 48, you know, really competing and doing it in a big-time tournament.
Right, right. Very true. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Terry Kilday. He's the director of marketing for Eagle Eye Golf Course. Served as rules aficionado for the USGA for at least 1 year. Also worked with the Golf Association. Now, Terry, going back to, being a rules aficionado, what are some of the most bizarre calls in golf that you've seen or been a part of?
Well, you know, you get the high school and the junior level that I do here, you get some that are just completely off the wall. But, you know, today we had a player play a wrong ball that was another player in a different hole. And you can just have things like that that snowball. You know, I guess some of the most bizarre ones just involve players hitting their own equipment and then from there doing the wrong things and going on and getting disqualified and stuff. There are many things that to me they just seem to snowball. If everybody would just slow down a little bit and call for an official, you wouldn't have nearly the problems, nor would have Tiger in your previous example if he would have just waved over an official, you know. Hey, you're in a major championship and you've got the ball in your hand. Get somebody there that is going to either help do it right, or even if they do it wrong, you know, the official then becomes committee error and you're still absolved.
Right, right. Very, very true. So today you said that one of the players actually played the wrong ball. What happens in that instance?
Well, he's got to, you know, first of all, we had to get the ball back from him that belonged to another player on the other hole.
Right.
So that player could continue playing. But when you play a wrong ball, you've got to find your ball, or if you can't find it in 5 minutes, play it as a lost ball and correct it. And the thing is, if you hole out and then tee off from the next hole before doing it, you're going to be disqualified. Mm-hmm. If you do correct it before you tee off in the next hole, then it just becomes a two-shot penalty added to the score of only the strokes you made with the correct ball. You don't count any of the strokes you made at the wrong ball.
Wow, that is a mouthful, Terry.
It is, but it's a little more easy to see when it's there happening.
Right, right. You certainly know your stuff, I tell you that. Now, the PGA, Terry, I'm sure, of course you've heard about this. They have decided not to let PGA Tour players to anchor putters anymore. Now, for those listeners who don't know what anchoring a putter means, it's, I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, interrupt me anytime, it's when the shaft of the putter is touching the player's body in some way, shape, or form, and out allowing their body as kind of, as sort of just as it's called, anchoring the putter, just anchoring the putter in a way where it allows you to hit the ball easier. What is your take on that rule?
Well, a couple of things, if I can just, before we get into it too much. You can attach the ball to your forearm from the club shaft from the elbow down to your forearm.
So it can't. So it can't touch your forearm. Okay.
No, but it can. You can anchor there, but you can't stick it in your belly or right at your sternum or under your elbow, different things that, you know, came in with these long putters. So what you're saying about anchoring is definitely correct. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the PGA Tour, they simply decided to go along. The ruling body of golf that makes the rules is the RNA and the USGA. They work jointly. Every 4 years, they have new rules. That's why this is not going to take effect until 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But the PGA Tour just finally realized they weren't going to make their own set of rules, and so they're going along with it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Jumping now to your question, you know, what do I think about it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's completely the right thing to do. When you anchor the club to your body, you're no longer, in my opinion, making a stroke. You're taking nerves out of it. You're taking yips out of it. Just different things that, you know, aren't part of the game. You know, you need to freely swing the club, whether it's a putt, a chip. You know, I don't know if you've played with, again, guys of certain age like like myself. Mm-hmm. Chipping actually becomes almost harder than putting. The yips will show up chipping the ball even before they will putting and stuff. So I think in playing the game fairly and handling stuff, that you definitely have to look at the fairness of it. And then the fairness is to not allow to anchor.
Right. So it is a pretty big advantage then to anchor a putter, huh?
Yes, it is. And one thing I think your listeners are probably going to be thinking right now, well, why didn't they stop it 30 years ago when long putters and anchoring became fashionable?
Right.
That is a very valid question. It should have been stopped right then. If you go back a number of years, Sam Snead putted croquet style for about 2 months, mm-hmm. and they came out right away and put a stop to it. So it went too long. I would never argue that point. But
now, why did they, Terry, why did they allow it during that period?
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I said, why did they allow it during that period when it first became fashionable, when it first started?
Well, that's the thing. It should have been stopped right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get addressed, and then all of a sudden the last 2 years we've had, you know, four out of the six major champions have used the long putter anchored to their body,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, you know, now it really came to front and center, you know, that, hey, this is – the game's moving in the wrong direction, again, in the rule maker's opinion, and I tend to agree with him.
Right, right. Ladies and gents, we're talking with Terry Kilday. He's the director of marketing for Eagle Eye Golf Course, served as rules aficionado for the USGA for 1 year, also works with the Golf Association. Now, the John Deere Classic is going on, Terry, and on the current sports, we're going to allow you to make a prediction. Now, me and the production staff, we've made our picks for who we think is going to pull this thing out. It just kicked off this morning. Who do you think is going to take home the trophy? Just give us a prediction. And, of course, Zach Johnson is the defending champion of this this classic.
Well, just to follow up on what I said a little earlier, I'm going to go with my boy Steve Stricker.
Went with Stricker, too.
he's a Midwestern guy. He's been very loyal to that tournament, and he's played well there a number of times. So I'll go with him.
Gotcha. Well, he just shot a 4-under 67, I think my producer, engineer Aaron Young just let me know. So he's finished up. That's a pretty good score. We're looking good right now, Terry.
In my defense, I haven't been on my smartphone looking at stuff.
So. Yeah, I was about to ask you, did you just Google that?
No, I did not do that.
Well, good stuff. All right, well, he's 3 shots off the lead right now. Now, lastly, before I let you go, Terry, you just put on, I believe last month, the first ever Mid-Michigan Golf Tour. Talk about what that is to our listeners who don't know what it is, and how did it go?
Well, we've had our second event was up at the – first event was at Hawk Hollow. Second event was at Emerald the end of June. The next one that your listeners are welcome to get involved with is here at Forest Acres West on Saturday afternoon, the 20th. Mm-hmm. The big thing that I think your listeners would love with this is if you don't belong to a private club, there's very seldom that you as a handicap player, you know, a non-scratch player can compete. And this event has both an open division, a scratch division, but anyone who has a GAM handicap, a USGA handicap index, is welcome to play in our events in our net division. And we also have a senior division, but you get the thrill of competition and on a level playing field with the handicaps used in that division.
That certainly sounds great. Now, you said that Saturday, just to remind our listeners, Saturday, July 20th, right?
Right, at Acres West. And then in August, it'll be at both Timber Ridge and College Field. And then the Tour Championship ends up Sunday, September 8th at Eagle Eye. All of that can be found in the calendar section of our website at hawkhollow.com.
Hawkhollow.com. We're also post that on our Facebook page as well. Get your clubs, folks. Have some fun. July 20th at Acres West. It kicks off. Terry Kilday, marketing director for Eagle Eye Golf Course and also Rules Aficionado, serving for the USGA Rules Committee for 1 year. You can constantly see him on the golf course doing something. He's always involved with the game. Terry, thanks so much for being a part of Current Sports.
Al, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you out at Eagle Eye with your boy Fred Heumann. Take a few bucks from me.
True. I'll let him know. I'll text him right after the show. We got to get it on, man.
All right. Again, thank you for your time.
No problem, Terry. Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
All right, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. I want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear what's on your mind. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
Robin Young coming up here and now. If the U.S. embargo against Cuba is lifted, you might think Miami would be the main beneficiary. But on the other side of the state, Tampa has been quietly winning the Cold War on Cuban trade. Also, a long look at an iconic John Singer Sargent painting. Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Driven down the right field line. Hey, there's number one. How's that for timing?
Yep.
Two-run shot. for Fritz Fielder. 2-0 Detroit.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Martinez scores. Peralta goes to third and stops there, and Avila delivers. Routed toward third. Cabrera has it. He'll throw across the diamond. Tigers win. 8-for-8 for Joaquin Benoit.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest current sports news concerning you guys, the good people of Mid-Michigan. We just finished talking with Terry Kilday. He's the director of marketing for Eagle Eye Golf Course, served as rules aficionado for the USGA for 1 year, also works with the Golf Association. He gave us great insight as to the PGA world of officiating and into what's going on professionally in the world of the PGA Tour. He has a great event taking place on Saturday, July 20th. It's the first ever Mid-Michigan Golf Tour. It's kicking off, well, it already kicked off, but there's another event taking place on July 20th at Acres West. We'll put a lot of the information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. All right, let's dive into our current sports section of the show. I am joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, as we list the latest sporting news concerning you guys. And as you just heard during that great rendition, gets my blood boiling every time we do stuff like that on that whole minute-long intro. I love that. Shout out to our engineer, Aaron Young. The Detroit Tigers, though, they even up their three-game series against the Chicago White Sox last night with an 8-5 Game 2 win. Rick Porcello took the mound for the Tigers. Porcello moved to .500 on the season with a solid six-inning performance. He allowed 3 runs, 7 hits, didn't issue a walk, and struck out 6. The 8th time this season, he struck out 6 or more. Rick Porcello, very nice outing for him. Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, and Victor Martinez, V-Mart, they've been so consistent. They each had 3 hits as the Tigers pounded out 15 hits in that 8-5 win yesterday. Now, Fielder hit his 16th homer of the season. Cabrera is 9-for-20 with 3 home runs in his last 5 games, and Martinez is batting an unconscious .429 during a 12-game hitting streak. Now, however, the three are combined 3-for-25, just 3-for-25 against Chris Sale, who's on the mound tonight for the White Sox. So the Tigers are promoting Joaquin Benoit, as you just heard throughout that rendition. His campaign to win the final vote for the American League All-Star Team. Now, on a night when orange Vote Benoit shirts were all over Comerica Park, the veteran right-hander, he really, showed his stuff yesterday, closed things out with that win yesterday. Now, he's part of a group of 5 relievers up for that final vote in the AL All-Star Team. The others are Toronto's Steve Delabar, New York Yankees David Robertson, Texas Tanner Sheps, and Boston's Koji. Am I saying his name right, guys? Koji Uehara.
Yumahara?
Yumahara.
By the way, Tigers actually facing the Sox right now.
They
Quick
are going on
update.
Right now. What is the score
Chris
update?
Chris Sale pitching. They are up 1-0.
One and one
top
inning.
Second.
Top of the second. Thank you for that score update.
They meaning the Tigers?
They meaning the Sox.
Oh, the Sox are up.
Chris
okay.
Sale and the Sox up 1-0.
Oh. Gotcha. Well, like I said, I mean, when you talk about Fielder, Cabrera, Martinez, they've only combined for 3-for-25 against Sale. They always have trouble against Chris Sale. So the Tigers' bullpen has been shaky all season, though, but Benoit has been used more as a closer lately. So maybe they found a closer. I don't know. He's 8-for-8 in save chances. He's lowered his ERA to .169. He may be that man. The Tigers extend their AL Central lead over second place Cleveland to 3.5 games. Now, also want to note that all eight of Detroit's runs came with two out. Martinez had, of course, three hits to extend his hitting streak to 12. And Anibal Sanchez is on the mound right now for the Tigers. So, again, 1-0. Tigers are down, right, Alex?
They're down.
They are down.
Yeah, like you said, they have always have a tough time against Chris Sale. Yeah. I don't see a chance. I think I'm going to be up another 3 points, guys.
You, first of all, we got to get it. You are the man right now, I must say.
I'm angry.
Apparently.
First up, the God. Number one is out of the University of Colorado in the home red, blue, and white tonight. The 6'3", Chauncey Phillips.
Yes, guys, when I woke up this morning, I woke up, wiped the crust out my eyes. And I looked at my phone. At first, I couldn't see my phone because I'm blind. I have to wear contacts. Oh. So I went in, got my contacts after I wiped the crust out my eyes. This is a very vivid rendition I'm giving you guys. So I got my cell phone and I looked, and it said that Los Angeles Clippers point guard Chauncey Phillips agreed to a 2-year deal with the Detroit Pistons. Once I read it, I shouted in my pajamas and I ran around my apartment complex. I did about 3 laps. And that was like my morning workout.
How much is three laps?
My apartment's not that. Well, it's a nice size apartment. So it was pretty draining for me. And I haven't worked out in a while. So I was out of breath after the first one. But Chauncey Phillips is a Piston once again, ladies and gentlemen. Pistons president of basketball operations, Joe Dumars, confirmed the move this morning. Phillips' contract is guaranteed $2.5 million. In 2013-2014, so it's a 2-year contract. So in total, it's $5 million contract for Chauncey Phillips. Now, of course, Chauncey Phillips, man, he's a guy, if you rewind time back to 2002 when he first came with the team, from 2002 to 2008, he was with the Detroit Pistons. When they won in 2004, he was the NBA Finals MVP and led the Pistons, of course, past the Los Angeles Lakers, who were heavily favored coming into that series. Phillips, when you talk about his health, well, right now he's 36 years old. He's getting up there. Well, he is up there, to tell you the truth. He ruptured an Achilles tendon last season. He only played 20 games, and he played in just 22 games last season for the Clippers, and came back from the Achilles injury, and he dealt with various other injuries. But in last month, in an interview, Chauncey said, "I feel like I'm back healthy again.
I feel like I'm back healthy again. I want to play a couple more years. I feel like I got that in me. I would like to have a chance to win it again. You know, I want to be playing this weekend as opposed to being up here, which is fun. But I want y'all to be talking about me. I want him to be talking about how old I am out there."
Guys, what do you think about this move?
Well, I mean, he's coming back home. Chauncey's coming back home. I know we weren't the team that originally drafted him or anything, but he always looked best in the red, white, and blue. And from a locker room perspective, it's like the best signing they could have made. I don't know how much he's going to contribute on the court because, like you said, he was hurt all of last year. And most of the season before that, he's only played 42 games the last two seasons. So it's not like he's out there. He's not the same player he was when we last saw him as a Piston. But, you know, the first Twyman Stokes Award winner for selfless play on and off the court, a mentor and role model, that's an award that was basically built for him.
Right.
And, you know, you look at the young guards that we have, you look at a Brandon Knight, and, you know, you talk about Mo Cheeks being a good mentor for him. Well, this is, about the best pairing you could have, Mo Cheeks and Chauncey Phillips. He knows how to win, and he knows how to win here. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody to kind of shepherd in the new era, I think it's a good move to bring him back.
Yeah, when you look at this move, and when I read about this move, first of all, I'm excited because Chauncey is making a return to Detroit. And, you know, it broke my heart because back in the day, of course, I'm a diehard Piston fan. And when I heard he was leaving, he was my favorite Piston at the time. And he brings so much as far as leadership goes. I mean, even when he was in L.A., he served as a tremendous mentor to Chris Paul out there. And he's a proven leader. He's a proven winner. And that leadership is really needed in a young locker room like the Pistons. They have a lot of young talent, a lot of young stars, and they need some veteran leadership there. I think it was great now that you have Rasheed Wallace and you have Chauncey Phillips, guys who have been there, done that. They have rings, and you know, they, of course, played together in that 2004 championship run. And bringing that to a locker room like the Pistons is now, where it's a young locker room. That's very much needed. As far as on the court goes, don't expect them to be starting. I do think Chauncey, he said he feels healthy. If anywhere Chauncey can contribute, it's shooting-wise. We all know Chauncey Billups can shoot. When you get, I mean, as age goes on, something that doesn't give, maybe your quickness off the first step gives a little bit. Maybe your ability to slash and dash to the rim gives up a little bit. But if you're a shooter, that doesn't go away. Shooting is muscle memory. And I think Chauncey Billups still has that stroke that we're used to seeing that earned him the name Mr. Big Shot. So I'm excited for this move. And I think, you know, if he is healthy, you know, it only helps that that he's out there and doing something to contribute in some way. Because if he's not doing it out there on the court, you best believe he's doing it off it.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah, two important – I think there's two really funny things that come out of this. One, Rasheed Wallace coaching Chauncey Billups is one.
Yeah. Are they going to hire Ben Wallace as the strength coach?
I know, like, that would be great.
Let's just get the band back together.
Call up Rip, you know.
we're halfway there.
We're halfway there
right
now.
The other thing is we all saw what happened with Jason Kidd, such a great mentor to Duran when he was on the Nets. Is the same thing going to happen with Chauncey? Is he going to go into coaching after he plays because of his leadership, his past? That's one point.
I think he'd be a great coach. Yeah. Great coach.
Absolutely. He already has the respect of pretty much everyone in the NBA.
Right.
And that's what you really need at that level of coaching because, you know, it's not so much the X's and O's. It's can you motivate your players? He seems like a guy who people will fall in line to follow. And, yeah, I think he's got coach written all over him. So maybe.
Definitely.
Second important point is the fact that I believe, guys, although this is – am I? Is this a great signing? I don't think it's great. I think it's fine. I think it's a solid option. But is this going to be the same Chauncey that we saw back in 04? Absolutely not.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's old.
Well, yeah, of course. But here's the main point that I want to get to. Are fans going to be happy with Chauncey Billups? I don't think fans will be, honestly, happy with Chauncey. And here's why. Because
what? I think you are out of your mind.
Alex, did you say what you just said?
Listen, Al.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying that Chauncey Billups is not a great option for the Pistons, and I'm not saying fans are not excited to see him. They are. They're very excited that Chauncey's coming back. But what I'm saying is, after playing 42 games in 2 years, he's not going to be the same Chauncey that everyone expects him to be, and I think fans are going to be extremely disappointed.
Alex, this and a lot of fans who know anything about the NBA or know anything about basketball, if you look at this move, this was a move not for on-the-court play. This is a move. This is a locker room move.
And I'm not arguing that.
So they're not going to be disappointed.
But
if he
there were many fans,
play.
Al, that expect him to come out and play that way. That aren't knowledgeable about it.
No, because if you look at look at him with the Clippers. He wasn't doing anything with the Clippers. He played 22 games last season. Was suffered through an Achilles tendon injury. They know Chauncey Billups is not productive on the basketball court anymore. So why would they expect that when he comes to the Pistons?
But does the ordinary fan follow the Clippers? Probably not.
Yeah, but the ordinary fan has been following the Pistons for the last 5 years and seen them kind of, you know, slowly decline to the doldrums of the NBA.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think they're thinking that Billups is back. All right. Let's pencil ourselves in for an Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think anybody's expecting that. So I don't think anybody's going to be like, Chauncey, why aren't you averaging 17 points a game?
Right.
I think, you know, if he averages 5, they're going to be happy. I think if he ever starts, Mason might not be able to get through that intro. He might lose his mind because he's so excited. It's just like, it's a great PR move. It's great for the locker room. On the court, that's like, you know, the fourth.
Right.
You know.
Well, let's hear from the fans. 355-9527.
Please call in and do you expect – okay, so this is the question we're posing to him. Do you expect Chauncey Billups to come out and be a phenom and score 17 and 6?
Oh, well, I think you're absolutely right that he's not going to do that.
The fans aren't expecting that.
Let me conceptualize this for you.
The fans aren't expecting that.
Let me conceptualize this for you. When Chauncey played with the Pistons in 04, you saw fancy behind-the-back fakes. You saw driving over Duncan's shot-blocking ability. You saw his quickness. His crossovers were just tremendous. Are you going to see him crossing over
Alex,
and driving to the lane? No.
We're not 14 anymore. This is 2013. We know Chauncey Billups is not – he's going to do nothing
Excuse
on the court.
Me, you
virtually.
Are a grown man, Al.
And, I am a grown man.
And you know that I am not 14 or yourself is not 14.
When I was 14 in 2004. That's my point. In 2004, Chauncey was doing that stuff. It's 2013 now.
Right,
we
Al.
Know Chauncey Billups is not going to be out there scoring left and right.
Of course, but I'm saying the fans are going to – there are some fans out there, and you can't say no because you don't know that there
those
are fans.
Those fans who think that are ridiculous.
What I'm saying is there are a good portion of fans that expect Chauncey to have those same moods that he did.
And those fans are ridiculous. I'm telling right now, that's why we have this show, to educate those fans who think that. I'm trying to educate those brothers and sisters who may have think that, if they do think that. I haven't ran across one, Alex, but if any are listening, oh, this is great. All right. To give you props, Alex, you did call a great move. Andrew Bynum has decided to join the Cleveland Cavaliers. Out of all of us, you chose this correctly. I don't know how you saw it. I don't know if Andrew came to you in a dream and said, hey, Alex, I'm about to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't know what happened, but you chose it correctly. Much props to you. Because the deal, he's expected to sign worth up to $24 million with the Cavs. To hold a team option for the second year, this two-year deal. Only $6 million of the contract is guaranteed, though. Only $6 million. They want to do that because of injury purposes and blah blah blah. You know that. Now Bynum, he missed the 2012-2013 season with the 76ers because of that knee injury, and we have to reach a variety of health and games-related benchmarks to collect the full $12 million for those 2 years. So only $6 million is guaranteed, and I think that was a very smart. Very smart move by the Cavaliers if they're going to sign Andrew Bynum. So now sources tell the Cavaliers, however, that they see the $6 million guarantees as a low-risk move given how rarely a former All-Star center such as Bynum becomes available on the open market and how rarely they are available in lottery teams. So as far as this signing goes, this was very smart on Cleveland's part. If you look at Bynum statistically, when he was healthy, like in the 2011-2012 season, he became one of the few players to ever average at least 18.7 points, 11.8 rebounds, and 1.9 blocks per game at the age of 24 or younger. The others include Bob McAdoo, who did it three times, Shaq, who did it three times, Tim Duncan did it three times, Dwight Howard, two, David Robinson, one, and Hakeem the Dream also did it one time. Adrian Payne, Michigan State's Adrian Payne, scored 9 points and added 4 rebounds and 3 assists in Team USA's 83-65 victory Wednesday over Sweden in the World University Games in Kazan, Russia. I cannot talk today. Payne, who started at center, hit 4 of 7 shots in 12 minutes. Indiana guard Yogi Ferrell led USA with 20 points. Wow, Yogi put up 20 on him. My goodness. VCU's Trevin Graham added 14 and 7 rebounds, and the Americans outscored Sweden 27-17 in the third quarter to stretch a 10-point halftime lead. Now, the U.S. will face Australia at 10:30 a.m. Rise and Shine on Thursday. I guess that game will be next. I think that's next week Thursday they're talking about. Now we'll air 7 p.m. that night on ESPNU. Jabril Peppers, guys, the Wolverine star cornerback commit ranked number one at his position by rivals and ESPN, and the number three overall player has actively recruited other top players to Ann Arbor, including defensive end Deshaun Hand and tailback Leonard Fournette. Now, Hand is the nation's top overall player per rivals. Now, Fournette is number three and number one per scout, and in a USA Today blog published Wednesday, Jabril Peppers offered an assurance that he would woo both to Ann Arbor. He says, quote, I'm really confident. I'm a really confident person, so I feel pretty good about it. Definitely about Deshaun because our relationship and the hype of defense that we and the type of defense that we run. Now, Leonard will be a little tougher, but they call me the commissioner, so I'm going to put it out there right here on my blog. I'm bringing both of them. If Michigan lands these three guys, well, they've already landed Jabril. If they land Hand and Fournette, oh, my goodness, guys. Look out for U of M.
And I believe we actually have Hand talking about Michigan.
The top five, why is Michigan one of your finalists?
The coaching staff is genuine. The players love the coaches. The town itself, it's cold. But I can get used to that. But everything. And then the sports management professor was amazing. He blew me away.
Yes, that was Hand talking about his impressions on Michigan and whether or not he'll come to the school. So if Michigan lands, if they land Jabril Peppers, Deshaun Hand, and Leonard Fournette, wow.
Yeah. And here's the thing about this article from the Free Press about Deshaun Hand. Jabril Peppers said this. Do I think I can bring them with me? Well, I'm a really confident person, so I feel pretty good about it. Definitely about Deshaun Hand. He goes on a little more. But they call me the commissioner.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it right here on my blog. I'm bringing both of them.
Yeah,
he's
I just read that.
He's that confident.
Alex, I just read that. But yeah, he's that confident, and he's very, very confident.
Guys, what does he call himself?
And the commissioner.
How confident is he?
Very.
Okay.
See, just so we both reiterated that. Yeah. That's great stuff. See, we're on the same page today. We are so on the same page today.
And
we read the
we
same quotes. I mean, we do it all. But we're going to come back.
What I was going to say on top of that is that you really don't see promises in recruiting from players.
That's very, very true. Very
promising.
Any promise.
Maybe they don't get reported that often, but I feel like a 17-year-old is going to say whatever he pleases.
He's 17.
Yeah,
true.
I mean.
He's saying, this whole recruit, I'm not a big fan. Anybody who knows me knows I hate recruiting because you never know what these kids are going to do at the end of the day. Jabril Prepper says, I'm bringing both of them. You never know what Deshaun Hand wants to do or Leonard's wanting to do.
I mean, would he honestly say, like, no, I don't? Like,
right.
You know. It
you
just
never
seems
know.
Like
they're
of course
kids.
He's going to say that.
They
yeah.
changed their mind about the
everything.
Yep. You know? Goodness. All right, we're going to come back. We have some more topics to get to, but we're going to come back with more. Again, you can give us a buzz and comment on anything that's on your mind. 517-355-9527. Current sports, more current sports, I should say, is coming right at you.
On October 1st, online marketplaces called exchanges will go live, offering individual health insurance policies to those who don't have coverage. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Wendell Potter, a former health insurance executive now with the Center for Public Integrity, about what to expect as the Affordable Care Act takes effect. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we're going to take your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Or hit us up on Facebook.com. Tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. We have a few more stories to get to, and it's Thursday, so we're going to do our Throwback Thursday segment, which should be pretty fun and just knowledgeable to let you guys know what happened on this July 11th in the history of sports. So I also want to note that the Ohio-Michigan All-Star football game is about 95% complete. Both sides scheduled to meet Monday in Ohio to iron out the final details. Now, members of the committees want to hold the game at a Division I facility. Among the talks for those facilities are Spartan Stadium and the Big House in Ann Arbor, and also possibly having the game at Ford Field. Now, however, housing problems and practice areas could be a problem if they decide to hold it there. Now, representatives say a Ohio-Michigan game will be played early June rather than mid to late June for recent East and West All-Star games, and not only would draw media interest from Michigan and Ohio, but the Midwest as a whole. All right, and Okemos High School. Congrats to Okemos High School because they have hired a new athletic director. That's right. Aya Childress is the new athletic director. Childress spent 3 years working for the NCAA before starting his own business, Childress Sports Consulting, which focuses on talking about leadership, education, social media, and recruiting with high school and college athletes. Now, this summer, Childress will take over as athletic director as Okemos Bob Bullock is returning to the middle school level. He's the previous AD. And as a Baldwin High School graduate and former football player and administrator at Ferris State, Childress, he knows the Michigan sports scene pretty well. So congrats to them. And this story is just, I just shake my head
it's
because It just really just, and we had this conversation the other day, and we had it on Barbershop Wednesdays. New England Patriots defensive back, Alfonso Dinard, who's 23 years old. He was arrested for suspicion of driving under the influence in Lincoln, Nebraska early this morning. Now, police said Dinard was alone in his car when he was stopped at about 2 a.m. after police observed his Honda unable to stay in its lane, swerving back and forth. Police said he was arrested on suspicion of DUI. He refused to take a chemical test, and a driving infraction was given to him. Now, police spokeswoman Katie Flood said Dinard would not provide an adequate breath sample for testing. He refused to take the breathalyzer, and she added that because he was cited and released, no mugshot was taken. Dinard was given a court date of August 13th. Now, Dinard, who is on 2 years probation already, must serve a 30-day jail sentence in 2014 and perform 100 hours of community service for his conviction on a felony assault charge. Now, that sentence stems from a dispute outside of a Lincoln bar in April of 2012 when Dinard was convicted for assaulting a police officer. Another NFL player arrested. We actually had this debate, I believe it was last week, and I believe that might be, 29? Because I said 28 since Super Bowl Sunday. I think Dinard might be 29 now.
And another Patriot. You'd think after the Aaron, I feel like the Patriots yes. organization is just like longing for the days when the only reason they were in the news was because Vladimir Putin took the Super Bowl ring, because now it's just gone.
Right.
Aaron Hernandez murder, Alfonso Dinard, DUI. It just seems like another right. story. When is it going to end?
Right.
And also, NFL player driving a Honda?
Yeah.
Really?
That's
one of the biggest surprises of the story. What's he doing driving
they're
a
all,
Honda?
They're all about efficiency and economy and gas
really?
Mileage. Yeah, of course.
Who is
That's
that?
What they teach them.
I guess he
So that's the part of the rookie symposium that stuck with him.
Exactly.
So what kind of car to
you
buy?
You got to get good gas mileage on your car.
Well, and here's the other thing about Dennard is Alfonso Dennard was probably one of the best corners in the Big Ten at Nebraska. Probably
Absolutely.
One of the better lockdown corners. This isn't just a roster guy by any means. This was a guy that probably had a future with the Patriots, and that's all gone now.
Yeah, and it's so disappointing because we talked about this, guys, whether or not NFL teams should start being fined or having some type of punishment due to their players not obeying the law and getting arrested. And this is just adds another story that just adds to the argument. I think something should happen. I don't know what, but this is just getting ridiculous. When I read this, I mean, if I were to put in my script right now and during the current sports section, another NFL player arrested, I have about a 60% chance of holding that to be true
right
now.
Yeah.
I could probably write it right now in my script that one of our stories tomorrow is going to be about another NFL player being arrested. And I might be at least 60 to 70% right on that.
You know what? We should start taking predictions on how many more players will be arrested this month.
We should
do it for each month.
Why not?
Why not?
That'd be fun.
Pick them weeks. Pick them Mondays. Let's do it.
Yep.
Hilarious, but cuffs. Sad.
For the listeners, though, how many more players do you think will be arrested this month?
Yep, it's so sad.
Go up to 40?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, so it's Throwback Thursday, guys. And on Throwback Thursdays, we give you some knowledge on what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Matt, take it away.
This is a busy day. Busier than I anticipated. All right, we're going to go way back. 1914, about a guy by the name of George Ruth. Maybe you know him as Babe Ruth, made his Major League Baseball debut.
Yeah, for the Red Sox, right?
Yes, he pitched a 4-3 win versus the Cleveland Indians, so way to go, Babe. 1985, Nolan Ryan records his 4,000th strikeout versus the Mets. 1987, Bo Jackson, while he is playing with the Kansas City Royals in Major League Baseball, he signs with the L.A. Raiders, two-sport star, you don't know Bo. I mean,
that's when I watched You Don't Know Bo, which was on ESPN, oh, man, it didn't, because during that era, I was, a lot of us probably were still young and didn't really get a chance to watch Bo in his prime. And to see, that was such an amazing athlete. I mean, that guy played everything, and he was good at everything.
He was better than good.
Yeah,
he was great.
Than, he was great.
Like the best.
Yeah, unbelievable, yeah. Man. He's special. Bo
Absolutely.
Jackson.
Absolutely. All right, 1989, more Bo Jackson. He wins the All-Star Game MVP. But the reason it makes the list is because Ronald Reagan got up in the booth and decided to do some announcing. So, actor, president, play-by-play.
Right.
Guy could do it all.
He could do it all. Yeah,
he could do it all. In 1987, Cal Ripken Sr. becomes the first father to manage two sons when Billy Ripken joins the Orioles organization. Of course, Cal Ripken Jr. was already there. 1994, one of the weirder stories, Sean Eckert is sentenced to 18 months in jail for his role in the whole Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan feud.
Yeah, that was
he was
crazy.
One of the conspirators in that scandal. And then I'm going to go non-sports for this last one. We're going to go all the way back to 1804. Vice President Aaron Burr, former Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Hamilton, have their famous duel, which resulted in the death of Alexander Hamilton. So, you know, a big day for beefs, July 11th. If you got a beef, sort it out.
Sort it out. July 11th was beef day. Beef, that sounds like you're eating beef. That sounded
right,
terrible.
Sponsored by Wendy's or something.
Yeah, Wendy's.
Yeah,
yes, eat beef. All right, that was a lot, man. Did we get to Mickey? Mickey Mantle also on this day in 1995. He made his final public appearance. It was just to increase the awareness of organ donation programs. So a very good cause there. And going back to that Sean Eckert too. I mean, he was sentenced in Portland, Oregon, to that to 18 months in prison for his role in that attack of figure skater Nancy Kerrigan. That was one of the. And I was talking to Matt about this before the show started. One of the most bizarre stories. Ever. For those who don't know, Tanya Harding was involved. Well, they were both figure skaters, and they had this rivalry going on. And I believe, and it happened in Detroit too, at Cobo Hall at Detroit. Nancy Kerrigan, she's skating around, just finished a practice. She goes, headed to the locker room. All of a sudden, this guy comes out with a crowbar or billy club or something, hits her one time, takes off. Like, hits her hard one time, you know, and takes off. And she's writhing in pain and crying. And he flees the scene. But they caught him. But that was nuts. And it happened in Detroit, became a national story that I'm sure many of you out there listening will never forget. So, crazy stuff, guys. Crazy world of sports.
Yeah, crazy.
And just for Throwback Thursdays, of course, Chauncey Billups is back in Detroit. We got to play this for you.
And the lead is 88-85.
Got to get a three up.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Billups. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Billups hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
That is fun stuff, guys. I'm excited about Chauncey being back.
Yeah, and actually Matt was the one that talked about if there's one play that you remember from Chauncey, it's that playoff game against the Nets where he hit that clutch that clutch three.
Crazy.
Yeah, you remember the shot more than the fact that they actually ended up losing that.
It was
game.
An out of bounds play, right?
Right.
And just a catch and shoot.
Two or three seconds. Going the length of the court. This wasn't an inbounds from half court by any means.
Right. Right. Unbelievable, man. I'm excited about Chauncey.
Now, Alex, how many buzzer beaters like that does Chauncey have to miss before people start saying, why isn't he playing like 2004 anymore?
Hey, I think you give it two, and you look at these Detroit Pistons fans that have seen so much disappointment over the last 3-4 years.
Alex,
I think two missed buzzer beaters, that's it.
Alex, you cease to amaze me, brother. You cease to amaze me.
I'll keep amazing you this week.
Please, comment on Facebook.com.
Scoreboard, Al. Who's in first place?
I can't argue with that. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shard, Matt Lucky, our production assistant, intern, Mike Corey, engineer, Aaron Young, who had some great music playing today, as you hear right now. Peter Wolf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Terry Kilday for joining us. Of course, Saturday, July 20th at Acres West, he has some great events going on. First ever Mid-Michigan Golf Tour. Thank you for joining us. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've listened to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, be easy, people.